our walk with the Lord, His blessings, His interventions in our lives, His interjecting Himself in situations that are beyond our abilities and capacities, and to say thank you and maybe say, Lord, help me. In the tests and trials and obstacles and difficulties that are a part of this fallen world. I appreciated the words Brother Rod read this morning of the prophet Isaiah, comfort ye my people. It's nice to read that. It's nicer to experience it. And the beauty of all that we have more, you know, that we've just been through in the last few days of celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus is to remind us that in fact the Lord of glory came to act out and to fulfill in our human experience those things that He proclaimed prophetically and put in writing for us to recall and to be able to say, Lord, yes, this is your word. We are like grass. We're here today, we're gone tomorrow. But the word of the Lord abides forever. It would be in order this morning if, well, see, you've had 30 seconds to think about it. If you'd just like to make mention of a highlight or two or a half a dozen of the good hand of the Lord in 2002, a momentous year, a year with its tests and trials, but also a year of triumph and victory. And if we may do that, let's take a few moments to see what the Holy Spirit may be stirring up in us, just to give thanks to the Lord for His grace to us in the past year. So don't all stand up at once, but who'd like to say a thank you to the Lord for a specific event regarding the past year? Yes, Shelley. Wonderful. Shelley is praising the Lord for getting her out of a wheelchair when the best of human knowledge said she'll never walk again. And here she is, motivating on her own two feet. Praise the Lord. Yes, Joanna.
Excuse me, of course, but I'm praising the Lord because I know how much stronger I am since the accident, and just the joy of the Lord and the strength He's given me through as each year has gone, each month. This last year, I've noticed in the last few months, too, just the ability I have to do more and to just praise Him, and I do praise Him for being able to hear and love one another as God has meant for us to do it through Christ. But He says, love one another even as I love you. And it's been that intense love that we have here that supports us all. And I believe that's why I am where I am.
Amen. Joanna praises the Lord for renewed strength after her accident. And really, my testimony to the grace of God in her life is to see her running about in her kitchen. I mean, this lady doesn't move slowly. And she conducted herself in these last few days of, you know, what the Ludwig House is like. It's the center of entertainment for the community. She conducted herself as though she were 40 years younger than what she is. And so praise the Lord for that grace of restoration. When again, the best that human understanding could evaluate would be to say, you'll never walk again.
Never think again
after the really drastic accident that Joanna experienced a couple of years ago. So praise the Lord for continuing grace of restoration and strength beyond our human expectations. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That's great. Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord because of the answers to prayers that we see right here within our midst. Right here. Right here. The Word of God free. Word of God set free by the freedom that He gave to you to speak to us. The power beginning to flow again on the earth. That authority of God resting in His many membered body again.
Yes.
We can see it.
Thank you, Lord. Ray giving thanks particularly for John's recovery and restoration to us. And Carol, I
don't know, I'm such a mess, but
well, for a mess, you're wonderful.
Yes.
You know what? We'd do so much better if we'd make ourselves heard here from this assist to our vocal cords.
That in recent months the Lord has given me,
I don't know how to describe it, but it's when I look at some of you, I think it's how you're going to look in the kingdom. And it's not, I love you all so much here, but I just, it's like I can see the completion of that. It's so beautiful. Anyway, I love that.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, who can really tell of the imprint of the Holy Spirit on our lives that we see in part in the now that will be fulfilled in the day of the Lord, when we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Hallelujah. Yes. Come on up here, Ron.
An observation from Carol's use of the word mess. I think our lives are messy. And to give thanks for that messiness. And my observation is that the incarnation is messy. That God coming to dwell in human flesh is just the miracle of miracles, that He would take on the messiness of human existence.
Yes.
And I know the incarnation is special. In other words, I know that Jesus is the Son of God, but in one sense, incarnation is one of the most common things that you will ever experience. Incarnation, that is the indwelling of the Spirit in human beings.
Yes.
Is the incarnation of God in our lives is so common that I want to give thanks for that.
Hallelujah. Yes, in that sense, we are all reflective of the Lord Jesus by reason of His Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that dwells in our hearts, that is reproducing the likeness of Jesus in each of us, if we know it or if we don't know it. And sometimes something that's hidden away and a little bit concealed has a better chance of reproducing itself in something that's too open. Otherwise, you know, if it's all visible, we mess with it. If it's hidden, we don't know it's there, and it just does what God ordained it shall do. Yes, sister.
Yes.
Come on up here.
I'm quite thankful for quite a lot for my sister being able to get up.
Yes.
For me being able to be here, because I almost wasn't. and for getting to California safely and having us, my husband be safe this past year.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All right, we want to consider some of the things that indeed we've been reflecting about, and namely to see the fulfilling of the prophetic word. And as we look at that fulfilling, for example, things we read from the prophet Isaiah concerning the Lord Jesus, then we look at the history of the early church, and we see the manifestation or the fulfilling of those words that were prophetically spoken so many hundreds of years before, but not being fulfilled through the Lord directly, but through the Lord using his people. Now, in that reality, or in the verity of that, we all should have great joy and rejoicing for the fact of the incarnation, yes, of the Lord Jesus becoming man. And then beyond that, that by his becoming man and becoming all that we are in our fallenness, he would make us to be sons of the living God. Beloved, it doesn't yet appear what we shall be. Behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. But when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's... I'm going to try to be brief, and that's perhaps a little stretch of the terminology. But let's look at the prophet Isaiah. Let me go back to chapter 40 that Brother Rod read, and then go to chapter 9. I love these phrases, equally as our Brother Rod mentioned to us. Isaiah chapter 40 at verse 1. Comfort ye, comfort, yea, yes, comfort my people, says your God. Speak comfort to Jerusalem and cry out to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Just think of what happens when the glory of God is manifest in a disjointed, muddled, broken up, chaotic situation. Okay, this is from Isaiah chapter 9 at verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. It's okay, I'm not going to redo a Christmas message. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Perhaps much to our surprise, with the annunciation of the birth of Jesus by the prophet Isaiah, is the fact that he expresses governance in these verses. before anything else. In other words, there is a matter of authority that comes into question. And when we look at the book of Acts, for example, we see the fulfilling of the emphasis that was given in the early proclamation of the gospel, namely, they spoke of those things concerning the kingdom of God, and they proclaimed the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. We see something very distinctive in both these cases. First of all, by the miracles that were done through the hands of the apostles and ordinary people in the early church, we see the authority of God demonstrated over all the powers of the enemy, and the powers of the enemy are no match for disease, for brokenness, for bondage, for the activity of demons, and even death. And so what do we see in the very beginning of the proclamation of the gospel? We see the governance of the Lord Jesus and the supremacy of the governance of the Lord Jesus over all other authorities in this world. And then there is a very important connecting link. Yes, the grace and the activity, the workings of miracles is certainly the work of God. But isn't it astounding to us that none of these miracles take place until there is a human voice in the picture? See, there is no demonstration of the wonder of who the Lord Jesus is and of his wisdom and his might and his fatherhood and the fact that he is the Prince of Peace until voices anointed by the Holy Spirit stand up and say again what God has already said. What happens then? The Holy Spirit comes along and does a Mark chapter 16 on the program. We all know how Mark chapter 16 ends, but let's go there for just a moment. This is Mark chapter 16 at verse 17. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. Let me take just a moment to adjust that rendering of the term there, because the word take up serpents doesn't necessarily mean that you become a snake handler. The word idol literally means to move from its place, to remove, to take out of the way, to destroy, to disperse, to expel, to force away. And so, in essence, the taking up or the removing of serpents is removing the symbol of the evil one. And you drive the snake, well, St. Pat, we don't know how true the tale is, but if it is true, you purged Ireland of its snakes, of the symbol of the evil one. And so again, not only or typically, that is, in an analogy, is the power of the evil one broken, which is symbolized by the removing of the serpent, but the evidence of the power of the evil one being broken in the deliverance of human beings and their restoration is demonstrated again and again as the men and women of the early church went about proclaiming the kingdom of God and emphasizing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is the essence of simplicity. And yet it's that very thing, that very word that the Holy Spirit took and demonstrated again and again in the early church, the power of his cross and the glory and majesty of his resurrection, and the fact that the prophetic word was being fulfilled before their eyes. Okay, this is Mark chapter 16 at verse 18. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached or proclaimed everywhere. The Lord working with them is probably in italics in your Bible, which means it's a supplied word. So we can read the scripture this way. The Lord working with and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. The word of the Lord was proclaimed. The Holy Spirit demonstrated it, and humanity was liberated. Hallelujah. What can be more simple, yet more profound in its application? This is the good news. This is the mountain of the evil one being pulled down. This is the valley of chaos and destruction being filled up. This is the crooked place of twisted, distorted issues that we face in life being set aright. This is the rough place being made smooth, a highway for the Lord. Hallelujah. The simple message of the gospel. No, let's never lose the cutting edge of this reality. As from day to day, we have the privilege of saying again what the word of the Lord says. For in the proclamation of the truth, as it is in the person of the Lord Jesus, we make way for the Holy Spirit to take the word of the Lord that abides forever, according to Isaiah chapter 40. And see the word working with the accompanying evidence. See, God doesn't settle for pretense. God faces us in the area of real issues and demonstrable demonstrations of the fulfilling of his word in the fact that he has come to rule in the midst of his enemies. And he has confounded the words of the so-called wise according to this world. And he has made their edicts come to naught by fulfilling his own wonderful word. Okay, this is going back to Luke, or not Luke, but Acts chapter 4. And let me just make... Just allow me to make some simple references here. The prophetic word also emphasizes that he is the everlasting Father. When we look at the history of the early church, and when we see the glory of God manifested again and again in signs and wonders and mighty miracles, what do we see? We see our Heavenly Father caring for his creation. We see the love of our Heavenly Father uniquely demonstrated on behalf of his people. We see our everlasting Father demonstrating his love to us again, not just in pleasant terminology, but in demonstration of the power of the Lord to undo the works of the evil one and to establish the governance or the kingdom of God before our very eyes. Praise the Lord. Well, I was going to read a whole bunch of stuff. Let me just draw our attention to a couple of things. This again is from Acts chapter 4. This is a result of doing a good work. How many of us feel real bad when we do something good and we are treated afterwards as though we had done something very evil? Well, don't be surprised, because this is what the world often does. See, before our very eyes, in the day in which we live, evil is well spoken of and good is derided. Is that true? It's happening before our very eyes. Well, here, a lame man is healed. He hasn't walked since he was born. He starts a little commotion in the quiet worship service because he's leaping and jumping and praising God for the wonderful miracle that is done. And this is what the religious authority does. Now, see, we need to take comfort, because in spite of what the religious authority does, Jesus is still Lord. Your heavenly Father is still the everlasting Father who loves you and cares for you and is mindful of your circumstances and your situations. And again he imposes himself interposes himself in impossible human situations and shows forth his glory. Our privilege is to proclaim the truth and stand by it and not give way to the positions of the evil one. Okay, Acts chapter 4, verse 5. And it came to pass on the next day that their rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to the helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel, but that by the name of Jesus Christ, the one upon whom the government of the universe rests," that part is added by the preacher, "whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." I'm missing something here. Yes, I need to be in chapter 5. Then the high priest rose up, chapter 5, verse 17, and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation or wrath or extreme anger, and laid their hands on the apostles and put them into the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, "Go, stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life." And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest and those with him came and called the council together with all the elders of the children of Israel and sent to the prison to have them brought. But when the officers came and did not find them in the prison, they returned and reported, saying, "Indeed, we found the prison shut securely and the guards standing outside before the doors. But when we opened them, we found no one inside." I suggest we read the book of Acts again as though we read it for the first time, and just see the grandeur and the glory and the majesty of the sovereign of the universe interposing himself into our human situation and showing forth his glory. His name is Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, the Everlasting Father. Are you settled in his care for you? Do you sense a little dread in the world around you? Do you think you might need to lean on the arm of his strength in the days that lie before you? Is he still the same, still the everlasting Father? Is he still the Prince of Peace? Does he still have the last word? Yeah, he may sneak you out of the jailhouse without cutting a bar or opening a lock. Hallelujah. Now, what is your impossible situation? What imprisons you? Well, we have a God who is our Father, who's expert at jailbreaks. He came for that very purpose. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to open prison doors to those who are bound. What a simple, glorious statement. To be repeated again and again.